Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To give a piece to the feet, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is frank and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums touch the radio. Here can't be beat, the clash with me. Better leave all your doors and all half the week.
What?
Positive or motivational strategy. Successful guest promoter, self-mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone joining me here live from tonight. It's Friday night, and of course, you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. 646-652-2711 is a number to call, and that's going to get you locked in and get you right on over here with us live in The Remix. The chat room is open, and you are certainly more than welcome to come on over and to get yourself in chat and get yourself in the chat room. And so to get into the chat room, just come on over. Let me give you some cosmic directions so that you can find your way over. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And to get into the chat room, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the remix, all one word, and come on in the chat room. If you are a guest and joining us for the first time, let me be first to say welcome. Welcome to Form. Welcome here. Joining live in The Remix tonight. I am so glad it is Friday night. It is September the 6th, and having all of The Remix listeners from all around the world joining us here. We will be giving out some international shouts out here in just a moment as we get ready to get into the share. It's going to be Remix first tonight, so you definitely want to keep it locked in. So peace and greetings, everyone. I see you guys filling all up in the chat room. And again, if you're a guest and you're joining us and you're listening live by chat, all you have to do is click the button at the very bottom in the chat room. Tell us who you are. Sign up. Takes about 2 minutes. Come on in, and the Remix family is going to make you feel welcome. I want to remind you guys that tonight's show, as well as all of the Remix shows, are available for you to download. So you can get yourself over to iTunes, and you can download, or you can come right over here to the Remix Radio page, and you can download, and that's going to get you locked in. Wow, what an amazing week, you guys. I don't know about you guys, but it's been a really, really busy week. Lots going on all over the cosmos, all over the world. Lots of things are happening out there. And I've been keeping up with you guys here and there, popping in on Facebook, on Twitter, and hearing you guys live as well. I want to do a sound check and make sure you guys can hear me okay, nice and loud and clear. So for those of you in the chat room, all you have to do is either send me a message or put a heart in the room. I want to make sure that you guys can hear me. Make sure you guys can hear me. I know Blog Talk was having some problems earlier. Can you guys hear me out there? Okay, so you guys can hear me nice and clear. All right, beautiful. All right, okay. All right, so we're gonna kind of see how this is and see how this is going. to make sure that you guys can hear me on the phone lines as we get ready to get into the share tonight. Welcome, everyone, to the forum tonight. Got a couple announcements that we're going to be making here. Hopefully, maybe that's a little better there. Let's see if that's a little better there, just to see if you guys can hear that and if that's going to sound a little better for you there. And make sure that it's coming in nice and clear. Yes, that's better. Okay, beautiful. So, how's everybody doing? I want to remind you, if you're not a part of the Remix Radio page, stick yourself over, get logged in, and go over to the Remix Radio page and click like. That's all you have to do on Facebook, and that's going to get you locked in to Remix. It's been a busy week. I have an update message from my brother, that I'll be giving you guys tonight as we get ready to get into the share. I'm so excited and kind of hyped tonight for our guest that's going to be coming on an amazing share here tonight as we get ready to get in. I'm just kind of getting myself situated. I want to tell you guys about some things that's going to be going on this weekend. Still a little chop. All right. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to a little bit of music while we work out this whole little phone situation over here. And, yeah, we're going to listen to a little bit of music. Here we go. This is a little bit of music, some music I woke up to. Thank you. Welcome to the remix, and it's Friday night. We're going to get ready to get into the share. Peace and greetings to all of you out there listening. I want to say welcome to the remix. Tonight we have an amazing share, a remix first, joining us here live in the forum tonight. You guys, this is so amazing, and what an honor. We have Cijo. Steve Muhammad, he's going to be joining us here very shortly in the remix as we get ready to get into the share tonight and so much amazing information this brother has to bring to us tonight. So I want to welcome you guys, welcome you from all over the world listening. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. The chat room is open. You can come on over. I'm going to give you those cosmic directions again, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/all one word, The Remix. Come on in. If you are a guest and you're listening for the very first time, I want to welcome you to The Remix. Welcome you to come on over in chat. That's also where a lot of the action is happening. And you can click the button at the very bottom and sign up. Don't forget to download this show as well as all of the Remix shows that you're listening to. I want to start out by saying welcome, you guys. We're going to get into the share. We're not going to be distracted by some things. And I actually have a very powerful message that was sent to us. As well, that we'll be playing. It's going to have a lot to do with the music that we're going to be listening here tonight. And also our guest, Cijo Muhammad, as he's going to be joining us here. First, I want to give you a message from Brother Bobby Hinbit and also from his queen, Linda, and to let you guys know that they send so much love and blessings to everyone out there for all of the love, the support, and everything that just has been pouring in from everybody all over the world. Now, many of you wanted to know, when could you start again requesting and getting these different amazing things, information and knowledge that Brother Bobby Hinbit has to offer us? Well, I have good news. I spoke with Queen Linda today, and she said for anyone who's wanting the stimulus check or the stimulus packet, you can actually contact Brother Bobby Hinbit, and you can contact Bobby Hinbit and also Queen Linda at 678-358-1055. And right now, the stimulus package is available. If you guys don't know about the stimulus packet, you can go back and listen to the archives. It has done amazing things and so much information and detail that you get in this. Anything that will open up that flow of abundance in your life, whether you're wanting to connect with some abundance in your life, you can have more time for your family and your friends and to do more things, this is available for you. So I want you to contact Brother Bobby Hinbit, Queen Linda, 678-358-1055. And also, just wanted to give you an update. I have sent a message out for everyone to start doing the donations. You know, don't forget about the donations for Brother Bobby Hinbit. He is definitely still on his path and his journey. And so many of you have given from all over the world and know that that is available. Also, I know some of you have been to the site today and you said, hey, look, I couldn't make the donation. Well, that's going to be up and running. The donation at YouCare for Brother Bobby Hinbit, YouCaring.com, where the funds are going. You can still donate to that fund. You can do it anonymously. You can do it through PayPal. And Queen Linda says everything will be up and running by Tuesday or Monday. So wanted to put that bug out there in your ear for all of you guys who want to support and to have that information there. Yes, and all the love and everything to Brother Bobby Hinbit. And there's a good chance we may be hearing from Brother Bobby Hinbit on the remix pretty soon. So that's always exciting to know. The other thing I want to remind you guys, if you didn't hear the show that was done on Sunday night with myself and Brother Bilal, The Soulfledge of Innovation, I want you to go back and definitely download. Very powerful share for this energy that we're in at this particular time. And also, I want to remind you guys, for those of you who are out there that are self-invested, that we're going to be doing a self-invested workshop this weekend. You would have already received your email. If you have not, questionforblue@gmail.com. You want to do that. And Brother Bilal is going to be doing Let's Talk Numbers Part 2. So he'll be covering things like master numbers and all these other questions that you have about numbers. The first share was amazing. Part 2 is coming up on Saturday night. So you definitely want to do that. And if you're not self-invested, you want to get self-invested, because we got some great teachers that's coming up that have. Siba Haru came and dropped some comedic science on us, and it was amazing. I've done classes all about colors and energy in self-invested, Brother Bilal, and many, many others to come. The Sister Rainwater is going to be doing her magic, working with oils and candles and sigils, all kinds of things. So you definitely want to get yourself self-invested and tap into that energy. Shout out to all the sisters in the priestesshood, as well as all of you guys who are self-invested. It's the weekend. Time to get the Kim Deck. Know Your Magic audio workbook. You know the drill. All that information can be found as well. We're going to move quickly along because we need to do a couple of things before we welcome our guest, Fijo Muhammad, our brother Fijo Muhammad, to the forum tonight. We're going to dance. I'm going to give the international shouts out. We're going to listen to Baby Blue. We're going to dance, and we're going to get right into the share. And so here we go. I'm so excited, you guys. So international shouts out, and these are all of our brothers and sisters who is listening live right now to the remix. We have Australia in the house. Poland is listening live. We have the Dominican Republic listening live. Saudi Arabia is listening live. We have Argentina in the house listening live. Italy is listening live. Barbados is listening live. Egypt is listening live. We have Nigeria in the house listening live. Amsterdam listening live. We have Trinidad and Tobago listening live. We have South Africa, parts of South Africa, listening in live. We have India listening live. France is listening live tonight. The Netherlands is here with us. We have Australia, Germany. We also have Canada and also the UK listening live with us. We have Switzerland listening live for us. Japan is listening live, and parts of China listening live. So we have so many brothers and sisters from all over the world. We also have Brazil listening live, Taiwan listening live, and we also have Spain listening live, if I didn't get a chance to say that. Wow, we have so many. And Bosnia listening live. In the house tonight. Lithuania is in the house listening. And, of course, all of us from all parts, from New York to Las Vegas to Canada to St. Louis to North Carolina to Washington, D.C. To Brooklyn, Chicago, Atlanta. We have brothers and sisters from all over the world listening into the remix live here tonight. And I want to say welcome to all of you guys listening. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue. Here we go. And, we're going to listen to some Baby Blue. We're going to listen to Baby Blue. Yes, all kinds of things are happening. Energy is high tonight. Energy is high. It's all good. We're listening.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop! It's the remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wen, and you are live in the remix.
Hey, yeah!
All right, everyone. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get ready. to raise up the energy. You know, one of the quickest ways to do that is to move the body and just to kind of move yourself around. And that's what we're going to do. This song right here that we're going to be listening to tonight, definitely one close to my heart. And I know you guys are going to enjoy this too. One of the things that I want you to do tonight as we get ready to dance, so wherever you are, stand up. That's it. I see you over there. Stand up. Get up. You can do that. Get up. Mm-hmm. Get up. That's right. Get up out of your chair. Stand up. Stand up. Beautiful. I want you to dance tonight. I want you to dance, brothers. I want you to get your ladies and dance. And sisters, I want you to get your man and dance. And mommies, I want you to get your child, your children, and I want you to dance. And daddies, I want you to get your daughters to dance. We're going to open up this energy with who better than Stevie Wonder. And this is going to be a blast from the past for some of you. And but it is definitely energy that is timeless, and it definitely is something that's close to the heart of the Remix family. And I want you guys to really feel this vibe, and I really want you to just begin to move and just allow your body to flow. Listen to the words, listen to the rhythms, listen to the tones, listen to the souffle in here, because it's in there. And then just enjoy yourself. We're going to get ready to have an amazing chair here tonight. And I just want to welcome you guys. And I want to thank you for being here with me and being part of the Remix family. So let's dance.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, that was Stevie Wonder, and I wish. Let's get ready to welcome our guest joining us here live in the forum for the very first time, C. Joe Muhammad. So I'm going to try to see if I can find C. Joe Muhammad on the phone lines here. Just press one for me if you're on the phone lines for me, Brother C. Joe Muhammad, and let's see if we can find you. On the phone lines here. Let's see, you guys. We're going to get him here. I think this is the number he's going to be calling for him. Let's see. Peace and greetings. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, we can't hear you. You sound very far away.
Are you hearing me at all?
I can hear you, but it sounds like you're away from the phone. Are you on the headset or speakerphone? You're on a headset, yeah. For some reason, we cannot hear you. What I'm going to do is, I know that, we cannot hear you at all. Can you say something again?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on my head.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to hang up, and I'm going to call you back and see if that fixes the problem. I'm going to call you on the same number you're on right here. Is that okay?
That would be fine.
Okay. All right. You're going to get this together. Let's see if we can hear. Welcome to the remix, everyone. Let's see if we can get our guests online here.
Yes.
Hello. Greetings.
Greetings. How are you?
I'm wonderful. May we speak to C. Joe Muhammad?
Sure. Yes, ma'am. Hold on. Yes,
okay. Thank you.
How are you? How do you get it on the other phone? Where are you plugging in? Are you there now?
Yes, and we can hear you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Let me see.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, peace and greetings to you, C. Joe Muhammad.
Peace and greetings to my sister.
Oh, yes. It is such an honor to have you here joining us live in the forum tonight. Had a little bit of, kind of one of those landings, when you know you're going to have a good flight, how you kind of take off a little bit. That's kind of how it's been tonight. But it is definitely really, really great to have you here. I want to welcome you for joining us here live in the remix for the very first time and kind of give people an introduction who may not be familiar with you. We're going to talk about so much of your work and your life's work of what you've done. But I want to start out and talk about you joining us here and sort of just how this energy sort of kind of came about having you come and be a guest on the remix. And so a big thank you and shout out to Sister Sandra for really bringing this divine connection together and having you come on, because this is definitely the right time. I want to start out by having you introduce yourself to the whole Remix family and telling them about who Cijo Steve Muhammad is.
My name is Cijo Steve Muhammad, and Cijo is a title that is given to you in the martial arts. And that title means founder or creator of his own style of martial arts. I have been in the martial science now for 61 years. And in creating the science in which I have created, I use the science of Kenpo, which is my base or foundation. I use the science of Wing Chun for trapping its center line. I use the science of Tai Chi for footwork and fluidity. And I use the science of boxing for hand speed and targeting.
61 years. You know, Cijo, we have been talking here on the Remix about those starts and just how you know from a very young age, you know, I thought the song playing I Wish by Stevie Wonder was so fitting to much of your path and your journey of just taking sort of that reflection and began to think back 60 years of working on your craft and your passion and your life work, a big part of your life work. Take us back to the beginning, and how did this all start for you? Are you there?
I'm not hearing anything now.
You can't hear me?
I can now. I didn't hear you for a minute there.
Oh, okay. Yes. I believe there's all kind of energy in the air. I'm quite sure we didn't woke up a few ancestors, but it's all good. It's all good and all beautiful. I said, take us back to the beginning. And really tell us about how this journey started for you.
I think the journey for me becoming, I would say, a young warrior started with my grandfather. I was born in 1939. My grandfather started me on a warrior path when I became 4 years old by placing a bag in what was known in the old days as a smokehouse, where you kept all your food and stuff. But he hung a bag in the smokehouse and told me that I could punch and kick that bag. And from the age of 4 to the age of 9, which is 5 years, I punched and kicked that bag every day for 5 years. When I came from Mississippi, which is where I was born, I went to Kansas. And at the age of 11, I started to box. And I boxed from the age of 11 to the age of 13. And I boxed in the Golden Glove. After finishing high school, I would like to say that while I was in middle school, I started working at a restaurant. And there was a Chinese family that owned the restaurant. And I started working there, and I worked there for 5 years. But while I was there for the first 2 weeks, I went early, and I saw them in the backyard. And I know now
right.
They were doing a style of martial arts, which was Tai Chi. And I asked them if I could work out with them, and they said yes. But it wasn't Tai Chi. It was called a form of exercise. So I did this exercise for 5 years with the Chinese family that I was working for. I went into the Marine Corps, and while I was in Okinawa, we were introduced to an Okinawan that taught Goju, or Goju-Ryu. And I studied Goju-Ryu on and off because I was in the military, and most of the time I was gone. So I never got a good, strong foundation in Goju. So when I came home back into the States, I found, was looking for a Goju school, but I found the Kempo school and the great grandmaster, Ed Parker. And I went to that school and earned a black belt after 6 years of training. And I've been training ever since in the four arts in which I named earlier. But that is the beginning of my martial arts trail.
Wow. Wow. That's a beautiful, very, very powerful journey. Now, I know that during your journey, you've worked with those names that we know, Ed Parker, Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, and many, many others. You starred in movies like The Karate Kid, Enter the Dragon, you know, Uptown Saturday Night. What was it like when we start to think about being an African American, working in your craft, working in your science of martial arts, and really beginning to learn and study and connect yourself with other like minds from around the world? What was that like as an African American?
As a black man living in America, when I started with Ed Parker in the early 60s, I would say 62, I didn't have a noticeable problem within the school because my teacher was Danny Inosanto, and he wasn't going to allow that. But I did notice that when I started to fight in tournaments, that there was a they didn't really want blacks in the martial science at that time, and there weren't that many, because most of the tournaments in which I went to, it was only myself. And I started seeing, as I began to fight more in tournaments, I began to see more blacks, but very few. And I found that because I was not treated fair in the tournament circle, that I said to myself that when I got an opportunity, that I would form a federation where and become very strong in the martial arts community, where we would have a voice in that martial arts community. And I did so by forming the Black Karate Federation. It was taken very well because of the name Black Karate Federation in the beginning. But as we began to grow and I began to explain them, I said, you have no problem with the Chinese Karate Federation, or Japanese, or Korean, or Filipino. Why do you have problems with Black Karate Federation? So they began to understand a little bit that we weren't there, as they say, to try to take over. We were there strictly for competition, and that's all we wanted to do. But it wasn't a good, happy time at that time in coming up, because I remember fighting in a tournament, and they took the tournament from me, or took the bout from me when I was fighting for grand champion. And I won't give any names because these people were my friends, but not the people right. who were judging. They were not my friends. But when I finished the fight and I was very hurt, I went over to someone, and I won't mention his name either because most people know him. And I said to him, I said I was cheated. And he said to me, yes, I know, Steve. They are not ready for a black champion at this time. I said to him, but my time is now. I may not fight any better than what I have fought now. My time is now. He says, yes, I know, Steve. But it's not going to change until they wish to change it. So that was a battle in which I was fighting back in the 60s, 70s. We were still fighting that battle. But eventually, we overcame that battle.
Wow, very powerful. So it was kind of tough, and it wasn't that many black men or blacks, period, that were doing the martial arts or even having themselves connected in that type of arena. What was one of your greatest lessons you learned while doing martial arts? And just being a black man in America, at the time that you grew up. What was the greatest lesson for you?
The greatest lesson, I think, in coming up was from my grandfather. I think that he taught me, along with my father, that never to fear any person. And when you look at them and you speak with them, you look them in the face and stand up straight and talk directly to them and talk with the best language in which you can speak at the time in which you're speaking with them. And I have carried that with me since the time that I understood that this is what I'm supposed to do. And as a warrior, and I believe myself to be a warrior even today, but I think that from having that type of attitude all my life, that I have made good friends in all walks of life. I mean,
yeah.
I can't not name the friends in which I have from all over the world, even today. And I think that at a point in time in my martial arts adventure, that they begin to make noise and say, don't cheat him. And I began to win in certain areas in which I was unable to win before. So there were people that actually said, no, you're not going to cheat him anymore. And I can also remember that when I was fighting one time, Chuck Norris, and they were cheating me, and he yelled out very loud, give that man his point. And he repeated that over and over again. And then in the audience, they start yelling, give that man a point. Give that man a point. And they gave it to me. And I was able to win at that particular time.
Hmm. And when did you know, Sujo Muhammad, that karate, if that's the proper term, or martial arts, was a big part of who you were and what you would bring to the world? When did that realization hit you that this was something greater than just for you?
When I start teaching the children of the Black Karate Federation, when the parents, and particularly the mother that didn't have a father, and they would bring their child to me and say, I don't have a man to teach him how to be a man. Can you do that for me? And all of a sudden, you got 120, 130 young children from the age of 5, you know, and they were around me every day. I mean, 7 days a week. They were at my home or eating up my food and drinking up my drink. You know? So they were always around. I began to realize that maybe there is something that I'm here or I was born for, which is to maybe be a father to the fatherless children that was being brought to me. And some of those children stayed with me up to 5 years before their parents came back to get them. Carl Scott is one of those people that stayed with me. You wouldn't know who I'm talking about, but if he's listening, he would know that he was one of the young men that lived with me in my house that I fed for 5 years. He's not the only one. My name to them is not Sijo. They're 40, maybe even 50 years old now. They call me Papa. That is my name that I'm known as through the martial arts community. That was my close family, which is CKS.
Beautiful. So what was it like to be able to meet and work with Bruce Lee?
Well, Bruce was my friend. It wasn't, he was a movie star. So when you're around him, you're very excited to be around somebody. I remember him as the Green Hornet. I mean, everybody loved Bruce. We didn't even know the name of the other guy that was in the movie with the Green Hornet, we only knew Bruce. That's who we went to see. So meeting him at a tournament, and he came up to me one day, and Chuck Norris can verify what I'm saying. Bruce came up to me one day because Chuck sent him over because he had made a statement to Chuck that I had extremely fast hand and feet. So most people say fast hands. But when he came up to me, he touched me on the back, and I turned around. And he told me, he says, "You have extremely fast hand and feet." You know, and I said, "Oh, thank you." And we talked for about a minute, and he got ready to walk away. And he looked back, and he says, "Do you know me?" And I said, "No," because in that little black uniform he had on, he looked very thin. But when he puts on a suit, you can tell that he's there. Bruce probably weighed about 145, you know, 150 or something, because he was solid. But he didn't look that way on the screen. And then, you know, naturally I ran over to him to hug him because I was excited. I just met the Green Hornet, you know.
Yeah. Wow. So did you two ever fight each other?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We had sparring exercises where most people don't know that Bruce and I were friends because he was friends with Chuck Norris, Danny Inosanto, and there were a lot of other people, Ed Parker, that he was friends with. But no one knew that Bruce was actually my friend, or that I met him places and actually trained with him.
Yeah. What are some of the lessons that you feel was passed on, if any, from Bruce and just the way he lived his life as your friend, as you two talked about something you both were very passionate about?
We both read the book, The Art of War, Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Some people call it Sun Tzu, but it's called Sun Tzu, The Art of War. We had both read that book, and we were talking, and we were both saying, "What do you think about Sun Tzu saying, 'When I fight, I win'?" And I said, "I have the same thoughts." He said, "He has the same thoughts also," and we both realized that in order to say something like that, you had to train, and you had to train hard. Mrs. Parker, which is Ed Parker's wife, told me one day, because of the way that I trained, and I didn't think that she had recognized that. And she said, "Steve, you are the most prepared karate man I have ever seen to fight in the street and to fight in the tournament." And in fact, that was true. I trained every day. I trained, like Bruce trained. He actually got sick from training. No one really knows except for a few people. But I, too, overtrained at one time and caught pneumonia and almost died from overtraining. Because the body, you can continue to build it, but you can't overbuild it. And what I did and also what Bruce did is that we overbuilt our bodies in trying to get it better and better. And you can, but you have to take your time in doing that. And we both overdid it at one time. But he said that he liked the language of water in fighting. I, too, adopted the language of water in fighting. He had trapping movements, which he done from Wing Chun. I had also taken trapping movements from Ark Wong, which was in Chinatown. He had also had some Tai Chi, which I also took. He had also had boxing, which I also took. So we had a lot in common when we had sit down and talk about the science of fighting. And I always said to him, and he said to me, "Steve, it's not a science. I mean, it's not an art. It's a science, because the science continues to grow and art stays the way it is. When you do something that is an art, and you must listen when I'm saying this, because some people might get angry because I say an art or style or system. It is a science. The style or the system in which you have is your base or foundation for fighting. It is not the science for fighting. but you need a strong base in order to be able to have a strong fighting science. So you must be able to do that kind of thing and understand that it is a science, and a science never ends.
Very powerful. Did you ever lose a fight?
In a karate tournament?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Because, in fact, I lost when they actually cheated me. Not because I lost because I did not get the point, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. But after that point, was there any time that you lost, you just honestly lost a fight?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. And most people that know me will attest to that. And most of them now own up to that fact that Steve, he did not lose. He was cheated, but he did not lose.
Powerful.
So I can
powerful.
Tell you.
Yeah. And so, never losing, how do you keep yourself going? See, Joe, how do you keep yourself going to the next competition, to the next battle? What is that inspiration that drives you from within?
I love to teach. So teaching keeps me healthy and motivated. To continue and teach it. But I live by four laws, my sister. Those four laws, number one is spiritual law. Number two is dietary law. Number three is fitness law. And number four is skill law. They must all be given equal time because you can be as spiritual as you want to be. If your diet is bad, you're going to die early. You can be spiritual and your diet is good, but you also must have a good physical law to keep the muscles and even the brain and other parts of the body to keep moving. And you need a skill law, not the martial science. That's like a luxury. I'm talking about a scientist or a mathematician or a doctor or a lawyer. Or, that's your skill law. But I say that you need those four for foundation. And if you give them all equal time, I think that your life would be long. I'm 74 years old. But you would never know that when you see me move. I still feel very young. I still move very young. That has something to do with the spiritual law, dietary law, fitness law, and skill law.
Very, very, very powerful.
I'm not sure if I answered the question or not.
Oh, yes, you did. You did. And it makes so much sense about the dietary law to understand about the spiritual law, understand about the fitness law, and then just the skill law, just understanding about those laws and how they apply and giving them equal time, which we know is a task in this time-space reality, but it can be done. And we're very thankful that we have brothers like yourself and others that have walked that walk and for a very, very long time, 61 years, you have worked your science and done it in a very, very powerful way. The next question I want to talk to you about on your journey, and we'll get into all the good stuff. I know everybody wants to talk about, people are having flashbacks saying they remember you and they know that there was a spot somewhere on Crenshaw Boulevard that they know you from, or, you know, they're saying all of this different stuff here, so that they kind of remember all of these things. But I want to ask you about what kind of mindset does it take to be able to encompass these laws in anything that you're doing. I know these are some principles you pass on to a lot of your students, but what do you teach them when it comes to just really kind of clearing out the clutter of everyday life and being able to focus when you start to talk about the four laws.
I teach them, I ask them, what is the capability of the human mind and body in whatever direction in which you want to go? What is that capability? And I said, look into that and see, what is it that you can or cannot do? Is there anything that is impossible? If you want to do it, can you do it? If you look at the way the world is today, if I ask them a question, if you want to stay underwater for half an hour, what do you do? And most of them will answer, well, you can't stay underwater for half an hour. I said, if you put on school gear, you can.
Right.
And I said, what if you want to fly? What do you do? Now they're beginning to get it. You get an airplane and you go flying. But how did that all come about? Somebody looked up at a bird and says, man, if a bird can fly, why can't man learn to fly? And they went through a process and learned to do these things. I tell them that the only thing in the world that you cannot overcome is death. Everything else you can overcome. If there is doubt, there is no doubt. You make or find another way. In the science of fighting, I tell them the thought of losing, quitting, or having doubt does not exist in my mind or my weapon skill. And I want them to know that they can accomplish anything, and there's nothing to stop them from accomplishing that except for yourself. And if you put them on a path all the time now, I get phone calls. I don't know how they find me because I lost my phone for a while, but they still find me through that computer some kind of way, and they call me and say, you know, Papa, every time I've thought about stopping or sitting down, I can hear your voice talking to me. And he said, I get up and start moving. He said, the thought of losing, quitting, or having doubts does not exist. Let me get up and do something. This is both male and female that I dealt with. And most of them I started, like I said, started at a young age. And they're now in their 40s, 50s. So I'm very proud of that.
Yes, yes. What was it like? I know for some time you served as a bodyguard to those of Wesley Snipes, Cynthia McKinney, as well as Minister Farrakhan. What was it like to be a bodyguard?
We call it protective service, that we're protecting them. Because in some cases, and particularly I would say with Minister Farrakhan, and I'll speak on him last, but Wesley Snipes asked for me one day because I was dealing with some gang members outside of a building in which Minister Farrakhan was speaking at. And I asked the young man to go over just him and I talked because he was getting loud and he was talking about what he was going to do to me and how he was going to beat me up. So I said, let you and I walk to the side and we have our own conversation. So I took him to the side. Wesley was sitting in a truck and it was night. And the window was down a little bit, but I didn't see anyone in the car. So I said, you're responsible for these young men that you brought over? And it was about 15 of them. He says, yes, I am. I'm the leader of them. I said, well, I tell you what. If anything go wrong in there involving any of your people, you see all these men, and there was about 300 of us around, I said, all of them are going to come to you. And you're going to answer for whatever happens in that building. I said, unless you control your people. He said, hey, you know, I'll control them. I don't want all these men to be coming after us once we get inside this building. And Wesley heard that. And someone came outside because I was on outside detail and said, hey, there's a guy inside named Wesley Snipes. He wants to speak to you. So I went in. I didn't really know Wesley that well. I someone said, he's a movie star. And I said, yeah, he's a movie star, and he wanted to talk to you. So he asked me if I had ever done protective service. And I had done something with my brother in the martial arts by the name of Big Cliff Stewart. And so I told him, yeah. He said he would get in touch with me in about 3 months. And after I left,
right.
I said, oh, he's never going to do that. But 3 months later, he did. And I started to work for him. But working for entertainers of that type, the hours are very long because I don't want to say, I want to make sure that I speak very highly of my brother because he deserves to be spoken
yes.
in this manner. He is a wonderful and a beautiful brother. But sometimes the hours were long because we had to stay up many, many long hours and work. But I enjoyed being able to do the martial science, but being able to do protective service on him because I had an opportunity to travel all over the world with him. And with Cynthia McKinney, there was always controversy. I was always protecting her and also protecting myself along with the team in which I set up for her. And the things in which they said to her and wrote about her, letters that came to her, was really sad. And she was hurt a lot, as I was hurt for her, by all the things that were said about her that were untrue.
Yes.
But now I'm finding out, yes, ma'am.
I said, yes, you're right. So many things that were untrue about such a powerful, beautiful sister, yes.
And Minister Farrakhan, I've traveled with him now for close to 30 years. I'm not with him now like I used to be. And I enjoyed that. One of the most enjoyable times that I spent in protective service was with him. The wisdom in which he has. And I've never heard him actually speak ill of anyone or any race. He told us one day when one of the brothers stood up and said that he hated a certain race of people. He said, why? Why would you take time in hating another race? He said, because of the things in which they have done to us. And we want you to talk on that type of subject, our minister. The minister says, if you haven't learned to like or dislike a person on your own, there's nothing that I can tell you that's going to help you dislike them now from all the things that have happened to you. And I realized
right.
what he was talking about because at the time, I also had that feeling, that the feeling of dislike for certain people. But once I got into the nation, that actually left. Even though I curtailed it and held it down before and had friends of every race, it was still there. But when I got into the nation, that actually left. I didn't waste time in dealing with that kind of thing. I had more energy going towards helping myself, my family, and my people.
Yes. Beautiful. 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 You talk about working as you call it security, I say bodyguard for a lot of these movie stars and celebrities, but you've done your share of starring in movies as well, too, or appearing in movies, I should say. What was it like to be in Enter the Dragon?
Well, it was fun. And it was fun because, believe it or not, and I wish Jim was here to tell this, and maybe he doesn't know, I don't know. But in the movie Enter the Dragon, I was actually slated to play the part that Jim Kelly played. And we were already actually in ready to make that movie that night, or that segment that he was going to do that night. I had already been invited to Hong Kong, the same as the place in which he went to do the rest of the movie. And
right.
He came in and he had a manager. And he said he came for the part of William, I think it was, in the movie. And they told him that we already have someone here. And his manager said, well, I don't believe that he's in Screen Actors Guild. And they came over and asked me, and I didn't know what it was, because that was the first time that I was ever going to be in a movie. And so I didn't know you had to get in Screen Actors Guild, so I told him no. He told them that they could wait until the next day because they were going to get me in Screen Actors Guild early that next morning so that I could do the part. But they told them no, that they were not going to wait until the next day. So he was able to get that part, and they put me in the movie as to play the part of his instructor. I was even happy with that little part that I'd done. And also with the Karate Kid, they asked me to do that little referee scene. I was very pleased with that. But the one I was most pleased with was Let's Do It Again. With Cindy Forte and Bill Cosby. The set was rolling the whole time. I mean, it was
really
fun.
I can imagine. Wow.
But I really enjoyed doing those things, those movies. Plus, there were other things that I had an opportunity to do also that was very enjoyable.
Yes. And so I know that you're still very, very active in the work that you're doing right now at this time, still teaching, still traveling, and just really, really sharing your message and your lessons and your craft, the first law of the warrior spirit, all over. Talk to us about where you are now and what it felt like when you was sort of bestowed the title of Sujo. What was that for? Sujo. Sujo.
Yes, ma'am. I was asked by Sujo Alfaro to come to the Whippin' Willow, and he wanted to do a film on me because he had been told by Great Grandmaster Parker that I deserved more than what I had received in the martial arts community. And he knew that I had went through a hardship in coming up in the martial arts. So he said it was time that he would help me and that he wanted to help me with some seminars. And he started to do that. And I didn't know that there were other great grandmasters that were at the seminars in which he set up for me. They were watching me, because he had told them that he believed that I had created a new and complete science for fighting, and that he wanted them to look at me, and they would determine as to whether or not I had created something different than Great Grandmaster Parker had given to me. So he set up seminars for me for about 6 months, I believe, that I did different seminars in different places. And I noticed these elderly gentlemen, like myself, were sitting on the side watching me go through my teaching of the seminar. And then they set up a big dinner and stuff and invited me to the dinner. And I did not know that I was going to get the title of Sujo. I didn't think I was going to get anything, really. I thought I was just invited. And I went because of who invited me. But when I got there, they said that we would, you know, wanted to bring up these Muhammad because we wanted to present him with something. And all these great grandmasters and other people that I had met before that I didn't know, many of them, or some of them I didn't know, and many of them I did know, but I knew they existed and I knew their names. And they wanted to bestow upon me a proclamation that said that I was a Sujo. Well, I wasn't sure because I only knew one Sujo, and that was Sujo Imperato. And I wasn't sure of, even though my 50, almost 60 years I had been in the Navy, karate, I still didn't understand what the word Cedro was because I had never met one other than
mm-hmm.
So they bestowed this title on me that night. And I was supposed to write that synopsis on what it meant to be a Cedro, and not knowing really what a Cedro was, except for when they read a proclamation. That is when I began to understand what a Cedro really was. And from that proclamation, I actually wrote a synopsis on what it means to be a Cedro. But that was how I became a Cedro, that these Grand Masters actually bestowed that title on me to become a Cedro. And I think that I may be the first black Cedro. I'm not sure that was received that proclamation of that type that I know of right now. I don't know of any black that have done that. I have been at that honor sort of upon them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Woo. Wow. Amazing. Just amazing journey. And you know, I'll say it again. It is such an honor to have you here, you know, to have you in our presence to talk to us about your journey as a warrior, as a very young warrior, and the things that you did. I want to talk about those four laws again, because I read that you used to eat junk food. Like, you really didn't at the time. You really didn't take your diet too serious. Talk to us about what life was like while you were going through your journey and just kind of, you know, eating whatever you wanted to eat.
Yes, ma'am. Well, when you're a young man, you can eat just about anything, and your body will respond to it. That's what I was doing. I lived off of Twinkies and Hostess cupcakes and strawberry sodas and hamburgers, and that was my lifestyle back then. I lived, everything was hurry up and get it and move out, and that's what I did. I didn't really get on any type of dietary law until I went into the Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan, and when I got into the Nation, they started telling me, you can't eat peanuts. You can't eat pork. I argued with them about pork. And that was almost a fight when they told me I couldn't eat pork because I thought pork was the best tasting food possible to eat. You know. And then I read a book about pig. And I won't go into that because some people might get angry because they like pork as much as I did at that time. Once I read it, and what really made me change a lot was I met my wife, which is Connie Muhammad now, and she came down to the school, and she started taking karate, and I fell in love with her when I first saw her, and I started trying to talk to her, and she wouldn't talk to me, because my background wasn't very good then, so she talked to me. So in order for me to change or to talk with her, she told me what I had to do. And so I started doing that, and she told me that you need to clean yourself up, you know, all the impurities in your body. Because I looked at the Muslim sisters and brothers, their faces were so clear and so healthy looking. Mine wasn't looking that way. So
right.
I told me what to do. And I did that. My sister, and one night I did the cleansing process that they gave to me. I woke up the next morning and I was shocked to look at my face. Overnight, my complexion changed from dark to brown overnight.
Wow.
I could not believe that. I always saw myself as black, black, black. need all of this. I found myself to be brown from the back right. And I could not believe that my sister, that my skin was actually that healthy. And then she gave me information as to what I was supposed to eat, which meant that I had to leave that good pork alone at that time. And I did. It took me 1 year to become a vegetarian. It took me about, I would say, 4 months to stop eating hamburgers and pork and stuff like that. I ate turkey and chicken for a short time, and I got so tired of that, I just stopped eating meat altogether. That's how I became a vegetarian. And being a vegetarian, my sister, I'm very healthy. The problem in which I have is that I don't eat meat, so I don't have protein. So my wife fixed me the little white navy bean. It is one of the most nutritious foods in which you can possibly eat. That is where I get my protein from. And I try to eat it every day. At one time, I did eat bean soup every day. Now I skip a day and I may eat it, or I'll eat it every day and then skip a day, maybe even 2 days. But I know that I need that that protein in order to survive. But I will tell you, my sister, if you take good care of this body, it is made to last longer than 70, 80, or 90, or 100 years. It is actually made to last longer than that. And I say to you, I don't really get sick. And I'm 74 years old. I get a cold, and I heal up. I went to a karate tournament, and these two big guys fell on me. And I fell on the edge of a chair on my ribs, and I actually thought my ribs were broken. And because of the muscle tissues that I have around my ribs, it didn't break. But the doctor said, you're going to be down for about 3 or 4 months. So, Doc, I have to teach my class. He said, you're going to be down. I never stopped teaching class. Even when I came home, I never stopped teaching class. And now it's been maybe 5 weeks, and I'm healed. He said months. I'm healed for a certain amount of time. And he said only young people can do this. So calendar age, I'm considered to be old. Physically, I am not. And there are people that are out there that are doing the same thing in which I'm doing, that you find women that are set. I saw this woman that was 76 years old. She looked like she was about 40. Very attractive. And I said, how old is she? She said, 76 years old. I said, oh, man, I can even do better than what I'm doing. I said, keeping my health together. So we know that these things happen. I had a birthday a couple of years ago, and I said that I'm going to live according to the amount of phone calls I get wishing me happy birthday. I got 153 phone calls.
Wow.
I said, well, maybe I'll live that long, and if I do, I'll tell the Creator to just let me get a little sick. I'm not ready to go yet.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. So I wanna ask you this, to get inside the mind of a warrior and the spirit of a warrior. Tell me about your visualization practice that you do.
What I teach the speed of human thought. And most people never really think about the speed of human thought. And human thought travels at the speed of 24 billion miles per second. That is average. And all the senses in which you possess, see, hear, taste, touch, smell, and sense, function bouncing off of the same speed, 24 billion miles per second. Once you begin to understand that, you begin to understand the capabilities of the human mind and what it is capable of through the body by you. And you're in control of that 24 billion miles per second. You control the brain. The brain doesn't act on its own. It obeys you, not 80 or 90%. It obeys you 100%, right or wrong. Then I get subconscious of the what the duty of the subconscious actually is. And I found out that the subconscious stores or retains not some information, but all information from the time of your conception until the day that you die. It has the ability of total recall of that information because it is stored. We don't always go back and pull up everything that you have seen, taste, touch, hear, or smell. You don't always go back and pull it up because it's not necessary. But as old as I am, I could not remember the name of Phil Corning. And back in 2006, one of my students that is now 50-some years old told me, he said, "Papa, I've been telling you for 50 years this guy's name." He said, "I remember. You can't remember that name?" And I told my brain, "I want to record that in a place in which I will never forget." You heard me say his name, and that's been 2006. And I can recall his name anytime I choose to do so. I do that with fighting information. I make sure that my mind remembers and records and stores in an area in which I can make immediate full recall of that information. You have the ability in fighting to create and adapt to whatever situation you've been put into, but only if you train. That is what I use the subconscious for, and I use brain sight to actualize all that has been stored in the subconscious. I call on that to bring it into existence to the conscious so I may be able to use that in whatever direction I wish to take it. And I use mathematics because any time that a person get in front of you, he speaks a language, he sets up a formula in front of you that needs to be solved. And that formula can only be solved through mathematics. When you get in front of somebody, you fight them, and you use mathematical angles to actually fight them. And I'll only use two angles to fight with, and those two angles are 45 and 90 degrees. Even though I may use a 30-degree angle, I won't call it 30 degrees. I will call it 45, because when you get into all the angles in which you can actually come up with, that's too many to try to remember to hit somebody with. As long as you come close to 45 and 90, then that's all you have to do. And I use, and I tell them that the body speaks the language of offense, defense, counter offense, and it responds to pain. And it does. If you read the language, you can defeat the body. And I use another one, which I call water language. Water is constantly flowing, shifting, changing, and creating, which is adaptability. There is no better language or fighting language than the language of water.
Yes. Very powerful. Very powerful.
I hope that I was able to answer because I get excited when it comes to the martial arts.
Oh, yes. We want you to get excited. We want you to get excited. That was beautiful. I love the way you explained it and just your visualization. You know, when I think about when you said and how confident you said, "I've never lost a fight, a battle, a competition," you know, aside from those that you were cheated from, but you never lost. And just that foundation. Mm-hmm.
And also, my assistant in fighting in this.
Yes.
I'm teaching from something that I could actually actualize in the street. I use the word actualize because when you say use the word actualize, that's a fact. It's not theory or concept. It is an actual fact. So I learned the science of fighting, not from just fighting in tournaments, but actually fighting in the street and being able to actually actualize that and finding out what the body is actually capable of in an actual fight. I used that as a police officer in that 27 years, and I got in a lot of fights in Los Angeles. So I was able to actually test my skills in real combat, and that is no better way to test your skills than to do it in real combat.
Real combat. That's the practical application. That's doing the alchemy.
That's right.
So what you're telling us, C. Joe, is that you was a bad boy for real. Some of these brothers play like they bad boys, but you was a bad boy for real.
But back in the day when I was coming up, there were a lot of bad boys.
They don't make them like that anymore, I tell you.
I have to say that when I came up as a fighter, the brothers and sisters of that day could actually fight my sister.
Yes.
Got in a fight, they could fight. There wasn't anybody that I fought that I had an easy fight with. Everybody that I fought, I had respect for them as a warrior because they could fight. You just had to work a little harder and come up with a better understanding as to how to make your delivery system and the science of fighting work for you. And I did that every day.
Here's the other thing I want to talk to you about. Tell me about you and your dreams. Like dreams at night when you went to sleep. What were your dreams like during these times?
Well, when you're coming up, and most karate men, all of them, they know that you sleep, you eat, you drink the martial arts.
Right.
And my sister, I used to have dreams where I got beat up all the time. I used to wake up in a sweat. I could not believe, because every time I got in a fight, I would start to punch or kick, and my kicks and punches went in slow motion. And no matter how hard I tried to kick faster or punch quicker, I could not get those movements off, and I kept getting beat up and beat up and beat up. I didn't win a fight until I became what I call a mature man. I don't call myself old. I call myself a mature man. I began to win some fights. I was so happy, my sister, that I was able to go into battle, even in my dream, and win. One of the things in which...
Go ahead.
One of the things in which I used to really, really think about was building a karate school from the ground up. Having all the equipment in that school that where we could actually have like a study hall, a library, that when the children come in and they needed to do homework, that we would have someone there to make sure that they could get that homework done before they work out, have a place for them to get health food and health drink so that we can put them on a healthy path. And just show them what a community of people can actually do. Because at one time they said that we were trained and taught by a village. And I think this atmosphere and bringing children into it, and the ones that don't have fathers and only have mothers, and that there are men there to be able to show them what a man really is, not a male, but what a man,
right,
man really is. And I've always wanted to do that, and I've never been able to get the finances to actually do something like that. And I'm working on something now to try to get the finances and be able to do that can leave that kind of legacy for us as a people, not as an individual, and say, hey, this is something that we can identify with. Like,
yeah,
doing karate, there are many children identify with those black martial artists that actually do the martial science. Now, we become something like a hero to them, and particularly if your character, even though I wasn't what I was supposed to be in coming up before I met my wife, they knew nothing about my outside life. I kept all that away from them, if you understand what I'm saying. They
yes.
only saw, and I only showed the best side of me to my children that I had at that time. And I had a lot of them in that school. And because of that, they see me totally different than what outside of that world actually saw me at that time. So what they see me as Papa, which is what I was to them. And I would like to do that again before the Creator take me home. I would like to see that type of atmosphere or that type of school set up where we can give to the children that are now, that now need that kind of fathering. And so I'm looking into that kind of thing now. That is a wish and a dream that I would like to see happen. And I'm going to try and make it happen within the next year or so.
Yes, well, beautiful. You definitely let us know at the Remix family. I know I would love to support any way that we can to really, really have that dream come true for you, and I know it will. I know it's been manifested in so many different ways, and I really see that dream coming true. Very powerful. Yeah. So you lost all your fight in your dreams. Do you think that's why you didn't lose any when you were fighting for real? Because that's sort of the practice ground. You know, they call it the warrior's training school. It's in the dream world.
I never thought of it in that way. And remember, I made a statement to myself as a young man and as a young warrior. The thought of losing, quitting, or having doubt does not exist. I carried that into every fight in which I had. I never thought that I was going to lose that. And even though they cheated me, one guy asked me in an interview one time, he said, Steve, how did you handle being cheated in the manner in which you were cheated? And he was old enough, and he said, I saw them cheat you. And he said, you walked away, and you had your head down. Sometime, but there came a time when you raised your head up and walked off the stage, even though you had lost. I said at that time, I had changed pain into skill. And I knew that even though they took it away from me, that I had the skill to actually win, but they took it. So I changed the pain into skill, and I became a very skillful fighter. And some people will say that you're bragging, but I'm old enough now where I can tell the truth and not be bragging.
Right. Wow, beautiful. Wow, so much you have done and still yet to do. If there could be one place in the world that you could travel to that you have not been, where would you like to go?
I have been to Africa, but if that's a place in which I could travel and be able to travel all over, because my family as a former slave and my grandmother and grandfather were actual slaves, and those are the ones that actually brought me up as a young man and told me not to be afraid of any man. My grandfather, he was a slave, so was my grandmother. But I would like to go back to Africa and hit every African nation that I could possibly hit. Because when I went there, I found that my people in Africa were some of the most sweet and genuine people I've ever ran into in my life. And the way that they dealt with each other and the humbleness and the love in which they dealt with each other,
yeah.
We no longer have that as black people here in America. And I would like to kind of go there and get more of that and be able to spread that type of word that we need to go to where our forefathers originally came from. And I know that some of us think, well, I've never been to Africa. My mother and father never went to Africa. But we started somewhere.
Yes.
That place that we started was Africa. One of our
yes.
relatives is still there that we know nothing about. Maybe in my travels, I may see someone that looked like my grandmother or my grandfather.
Yes.
Don't know. And that would be a wonderful thing if I was able to do that. So I would be honored to be able to travel into Africa as much as I could, because I have no idea as to where my forefathers and foremothers actually come from, what part of Africa, because that's a continent.
Yes,
so
beautiful.
I have no knowledge of that.
Beautiful. Why should anyone or everyone learn martial science?
It has a discipline, not just for the physical, the fighting part of it. It's much, much more than that. If they give you the martial science in the correct manner, if you tell them, like I told my students about overcoming all obstacles, and that there's nothing that they can't overcome except for death, and giving them the motivation to be able to do that kind of thing. And I keep saying, it's not about fighting, but it is about giving them a motivation that will make them, no matter what, you're not going to stop me from getting where I need to go. It doesn't matter how many, if there's a block, if there's something blocking me over here and over there and over there and over there, I'm going to make, I'll find another way. And there is always another way. Put that in their head and make them understand that you cannot quit. You cannot give up. You have to be able to accomplish whatever desire that you wish to do. And that I don't think we have enough of that now, because you can tell that in some cases our children just give up and go
yeah.
in the wrong direction. When we become afraid of our children, that is really sad, that a fully grown man is afraid of a young man that's 22 or 23 years of age and will not talk to him or get in his face about doing things that are wrong. But if you train them correctly, hopefully these kind of things will not come about. We have to actually start to take charge of our children once again, because right now we don't have charge of our children. Because many times, my sister, that you can discipline your child and the police will show up at your door.
Yes.
Say, you know, you whip this child, they want to put you in jail.
Right.
They'll know, for even a threat against your child. How do you get this child that is disobedient to do what you want him to do? And all the books of God, all of them, say, thank your child. But you have to know how
yeah.
to do that. I mean, he got whips upside his head and all in his face. That is incorrect. But on his backside or on his leg, I don't believe that's incorrect. I spank my children. It hurt me really bad
yeah.
when I saw my wife spank my daughter. I spanked them, but I cried for my daughters. I did not want her to beat them up. The laws have to change in order so that the parents can actually discipline their children, because things are so out of hand now, and that children know, I'll call defects on you. I'll call the police on you.
Yes.
They will come and get you. There's something wrong with that. And like I said, my sister, I don't care if they like it or dislike it. Now, I'm old enough where I can speak the truth, whether they like it or
not. Right. Yes. We love it. We love it, Sujo Muhammad. We love it. We love it. Tell me about your connection with the elements. We've talked a lot about water, but let's talk about the other ones. Let's talk about the other element, air in particular.
I don't know. In the science of fighting, when you read some books or you look at TV, they tell you about the water, how they can use the water in the science of, not in the science of fighting, or air is what I was getting ready to say. I don't know how to use. I use two of the elements, and I speak on them sometimes. And what I use is fire, and I use water. Because in the science of fighting, and particularly in pressure points, you have what you call hot spots, or hot points. And you have what you call cool down points, which means that at a certain time, the weather has a lot to do with what pressure points you can attack. And I won't get into that kind of thing. But I use water and fire because I say that when you fight, you use a water language, but you bring fire or put fire behind that water language or with that water language. When you fight. And one of my students wrote something about that, and he said, fire actually destroys you to dust. And I said, I never really thought about how far that fire can actually take an object that it burns, and it can burn you all the way down to dust, actually to nothing. But I understand in the science of fighting how to bring fire when you're fighting and how to use the language of water when you're fighting. When you have the language of water, water comes in three forms. That's liquid, solid, and mist. And I use the water language for actually fighting because water can conform to any situation in which you place it. I use the mist for cloaking and hiding. It's like fog. And I use ice, like you're skating, for footwork and fluidity. When you see an ice skater on ice, it is beautiful, is it not?
Yes, it is.
You need those three sciences to be able to fight and to fight well if you understand it, because there's trickery and deception in the science of fighting. And I use the mist for trickery and deception and for cloaking and hiding. It is the same as mist or dew or, I guess you would call that, mist or dew. Other elements, I don't use them in the science of fighting at all. But some people do, and they'll tell you why they use those elements. But those are the things that I saw that I could use best in the element when it comes to fighting.
Fire and water, powerful combination, and how you use them. Powerful. Fire and water.
My grandfather gave me the name Kwawi. And the name Kwawi means one of great strength or the strong one. And I have tried to act that out from the time that he gave me that name and I understood it until today. I'm still trying to be that person. You know. And he set me on that path to be that way.
Yes.
And I carried it out.
Yes. Yes. Is it ever too late to learn the science of martial arts?
Oh, no, ma'am. If you are a mature person like myself, and you put on a regimen for some type of physical fitness, and Tai Chi would be one of the best things in which you can do. You will find that it will strengthen you greatly if you do the science of Tai Chi, and only do it for the science of exercising yourself and the strength. And plus the teacher, if he's a good teacher, he will also give you a good dietary law to follow while you're taking the science of Tai Chi. But you need to get on some type of physical program, because if you don't,
yeah,
you become old. And starting at about 40-some years old, you can actually start to break down if you don't take care of yourself. And I say to everyone, get on some type of program that will keep you healthy, but get on some type of law. That's why I call them four laws. I live by those laws because I've actually made them a fact, not theory or concept. I'm actually doing that and have been doing it now for 30 years.
Yes.
And because I have been doing it, I can become very active when I choose to do so. And that in itself, I would say, is a gift from the Creator by just doing what I'm doing. I'm following the laws in which He gave to me in the Bible and in the Holy Quran. It tells you what you should and should not eat. I'm doing that now. It tells you how many times a day that you should eat. I'm doing that now. I've been on one meal a day for 30 years now. And I don't deviate from that. I won't say that I haven't, you know, I eat after 4 o'clock. I try to eat between 4 and 6. But I'll eat something later on because maybe if the vegetables didn't fill me up totally, I may eat some more vegetables or something at 9 o'clock at night or something like that. But I'm on one meal a day. And that has helped me greatly. And it's not an easy thing to do, is to not eat 3 meals a day and all in between. That's what I used to do and was very happy at doing that until I found out.
Right. Right.
It's correct. And I can also tell you a story about my friend called Ted Taylor. I burned my body out where I caught pneumonia, and I had burned it out in such a way where they couldn't keep me from getting pneumonia. I went to the hospital, and the doctor told me, "We're going to send you home. We've done all that we can do for you in the hospital." And I asked him, my sister, I said, "Am I going to die?" He said, "I have done all that I can do for you in the hospital. We're sending you home." So I said, okay. Mm. And I went home. My sister, I weighed 165 pounds when I got sick. My friend came over, and I had stopped eating and just drink. I had water, and I was just drinking water. And I drank water only for about 2 weeks. I had went down from 165 to 128.
Wow.
I had a girlfriend at the time. She went and got my friend and said, "He won't let me in. There must be something wrong. He won't answer the door." My friend actually broke a window in the back door and came into the house. He picked me up and took me into the bathroom to show me what I looked like. And the skin on my face was falling down towards my chest. My arms, the skin on my arms looked like it was falling off of my arms. And he told me that he used some choice words and told me, "I'm not going to let you die." He said, "Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to let you die." And he, for 3 months, my sister, he fed me some stuff that I did not want to eat. And he blended it up in a machine, and it was all green, and it tastes green.
Mm.
The way he got me to eat it was I could beat him up when I was healthy. And he told me,
right,
that he said, "Drink this." And I told him, no. He said, if you don't drink it, I'm going to slap you upside your head. And I kind of looked at him and said, uh-uh, you can't whip me. This is what I'm thinking. Sister, he slapped me upside my head and my hands, nothing, no part of my body moved. That's how sick I was. I started crying. And he said, if you don't drink this, I'm going to slap you again. So I said, okay. And I started drinking what he gave to me. He stayed there with me, my sister. He left to go and buy groceries. And his wife called the house and said, I'm letting you borrow my husband until you get well. He loved it that much. And he only went home to change clothes and do things like that and ask his wife if he wanted. But 3 months later, I was beginning to feel better. This brother actually saved my life, my sister. His name is Ted Taylor. He's not with us now. He got killed in a traffic accident. But I love that brother as my brother.
Yeah.
I'm here because of him.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. Powerful. Very powerful. Have you ever fought in the dark before? You talked about the senses earlier.
Only when I had to. I never had to fight in the dark. I fought in the dark as a police officer. But it wasn't so much where I had a certain sense of actually how to actually fight in the dark if it's pitch black. When I was fighting him, I saw him. And I was able to move and counter some of the movements. But then I had, at that time that I was doing the fighting as a police officer, I had really learned to hit hard and not fight long, my sister. I had made up my mind that fighting, you should only fight between 3 to 5 seconds. When you make contact, somebody should go down. And I was using that principle in fighting in the street. I figured that if I fought for 10 or 15 seconds, I was in a real fight. Because that was not supposed to last that long. I better pull out something else and use it as a police officer.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yes. I never really learned that there's a science for fighting in the dark and not being able to see your opponent or blindfold yourself and not being able to see your opponent while you're blindfolded. I have never mastered that skill, nor have I ever tried to do that because I use the senses in which the Creator gave to me. And every time danger appears, those senses go on alert. People will tell you, no, I don't think we should go there. I got a bad taste in my mouth about that.
That's right. That's right.
You know that I've used the science of what I used in a traffic accident one day, and it was a pretty good traffic accident. But when I was manipulating the wheel to try to evade running over stuff or bumping into stuff, everything slowed down. And I said that a few years later, I said, that capability is there. So why not use that capability in the science of fighting? It is there. Even though we don't know how to use it, and some of us may never develop that science, but that science is actually there. All the sciences I say move are at the speed of thought, which is 24 billion miles per second. So it has the ability to make objects appear slow. Can you do that in fighting? And I remember the first time that it happened to me in actual fighting is when this guy threw a punch. And I picked the punch up at the place in which it actually moved from. not after it had started to move. So because I picked it up so early, and I had been used to picking it up at about 7 or 8 inches from my face, I would check it or block it and move it away. But this time I picked it up much farther, maybe 24 inches rather than 6 or 7 inches or 8 inches away, and my hand went too fast, and the blow hit me in the face, and I stumbled back, and I looked over at my friend, and one of my friends said, looked at me and said, because I looked like I blocked that movement, and he said, "Fool, you didn't block that," and we all had to laugh about it. But that was the time, my sister, I found out that you could see movements at a farther distance. So you had the ability to make that movement appear slow. If it's coming at 200 miles an hour, and if you listen to my language, I said appear slow. It wasn't slow.
Yes,
it's coming at the same speed. But if you can see it earlier, then you have a better chance of moving out of the way from it or blocking it before it gets. But you're still going to have to block it at the same place that you blocked it before. But because I was able to see it at an earlier stage, I was able to step in certain directions to be able to get movements off that I would not have been able to get it off if I had blocked it in the same place, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
In the science of fighting, you have the ability to make movements appear slow, giving advantage to yourself.
I love it. I love it. See, Joe, Muhammad here, live with us in the remix.
We're like Vietnam. And in Vietnam, over there, we played Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Gladys Knight. I still like them today. And there are hip-hop songs that I like, but I like love songs.
Yes.
And songs that have meaning to them. And sometimes I have a hard time understanding what rap, how that actually goes, so I don't listen to that much. But I love the beats that the rappers actually have. But some of the language, I don't understand at all. I have to get my children to translate for me. I hear rap.
Oh, me too. So, hey. Oldies but goodies, and so true. I think this is the perfect place for us to take a break. We are certainly enjoying you being here in the remix. And then we're going to open up the phone lines for those of you out there that have questions who would like to speak with Cijo Muhammad. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines so that we know that you're there and have a question. International callers, you can actually Skype in. We're going to be listening to an oldie but goodie. And this is going to be a little bit one of my favorites, Stevie Wonder. And this is a selection that I picked. I just kind of channeled this one out the ether there for you. And it's Superstition by Stevie Wonder. And what's interesting about this song is it actually was made for that time of Vietnam because it was so many things going on about what people believed at that time. Watergate was about to go on, big civil rights movement, and of course Vietnam, the war was sort of like you've been telling us tonight, Cijo Muhammad, about not giving yourself an option to fail, but find another way. And don't just believe because someone tells you you can't do something that you can't, especially if you have it in your heart and you have it in your will. And this was kind of when Stevie's music changed a little bit for him. Again, he went through many changes like many of us. So let's listen to Superstition by Stevie Wonder, kind of jazzed up a little bit, remix style, and then we're going to start to take some questions. All right. Wonder and Very Superstitious, the remix version there. We're live here in the remix speaking with Cedro Muhammad, and we're getting ready to open up the phone line. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone line so that we know that you're here and you have a question. So we're going to go to the caller calling in from area code 410. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Oh, good evening. I'm calling from Baltimore. This is Sean Banks.
Okay. Greetings to you, Sean Banks.
How are you? That's actually why I just wanted to speak with him, ask him a couple of small, or actually a couple of small questions. So many things I can ask, but I guess one would be, first of all, pertaining to the Art of War, there's so many different rewrites of it. What version of it did you find the, I guess you could say, felt was the most accurate?
The most accurate one I found for myself is the one done by Thomas Clary. I think most of them are done by him, but it is the Japanese version of the Art of War.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you said Thomas Clary?
Thomas Clary, yes, sir.
Oh, man,
the Japanese version.
Yeah, the Japanese version. I got to learn Japanese, huh?
it's in English.
Okay. Yeah, because the one I had is by another guy. Thank you for that. That's something I've been building on for years. What did you think about Jeet Kune Do? What did you think about that style that he created?
I don't think that Ruth ever finished.
Okay.
I think it was something that he was bringing into existence. And if you look at, I think Danny Asanto, which was my teacher also.
Streets, because I actually, before I took it, I was explaining to him, you know, growing up that, you know, fighting fighters, and I actually had heard the comment that Bruce Lee said. He said a good street fighter, you know, will probably be the martial artist, most martial artists. But I was saying to him, even though you are trained, I probably could get a lick on you. And I did a move on him, and I did get him. Although I had a lot of respect for him, it was just a fun game, you know, how boys play. Pertaining to fighting, do you feel like when you were speaking about the moves slowing down, do you think that same ability applies? Because we experience that in sports and everything. Is that like the pure spiritual side? Like all of the teachers I've ever talked to, they say it's not about really about fighting. It's the discipline. It's getting to know yourself. And so your interpretation of even combat, like how is the feeling of it when you're at the peak? Like, how do you feel? Like, when you know, like, I'm right now, I'm just, I'm in a zone and I know exactly what's about to happen. How would you explain that?
Well, in the science of fighting, you don't have to know. Let me put it another way. You don't have to know what your opponent is going to do. You have the ability to think at the speed of 24 billion miles per second. There's nothing coming at you at the speed of 24 billion miles per second. And if I hear people say that, and it is a fact, that thought and movement is synonymous to each other. And I'll give you an example of that. If you have something in your hand or sitting on a table and say that you reach for it and you bump it and knock it off the table and re-grab it again,
yeah,
you can't remember the thought or the movement. All you know is that you got it. And you can say to yourself, whoa, that was quick. Have you ever
yeah.
done that before?
I do that all yeah. the time. That's how I know I'm kind of, you know, on my game.
You can get it. You can do that in fighting. If you tell your hand or your foot to move, the thought is the action. It moves according to you. You're in control of your body movement through the mind or through the brain. It will do nothing unless you tell it to do it. Some guy says, well, I scratch and my hand itch, I scratch it. I said, there's a stimulus there. And the brain said, because that stimulus came up, scratch it. The same thing if somebody throw a punch at you and the brain see it through what I call brain sight. And if you've been trained, the brain says, block that. If you haven't been trained, the brain might say, turn your head or duck or put your hands up in the way. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
So when you're trained, that's what fighting is. When you respond, you have what you call learned reflex, and you have what you call natural reflex. If a bug fly at your eye and you close your eye and kind of turn your head a little bit, even with that, there's a stimulus. But that is a reflex that is given to you to save your eye. Now, if that same object come at you and you bat it down with your left or right hand because you've been taught to block or counter things, that is a learned behavior. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So,
yes.
So when you learn the science of fighting, you actually take your basics. And from those basics, you develop a science for fighting. If your basics are bad, it's like building a house and you don't build a strong foundation, then the house is subject to blow over when a big wind comes. It is the same thing in fighting. The stronger the foundation, which is your base, the stronger the art, the science for fighting, will come into existence. Weak base,
right.
Weak fighting.
Thank
Beautiful.
You. Saw every martial arts movie, loved them all. But, of course, I have an inclination that that's not the root of it. What is your understanding, if I can ask you that, and I'm out of the way, Ms. Blue?
I call them Dumara, but Buddha Dhamma is the man that came from Africa. And sometimes when I say this, there are people that don't like it, but it's the truth. If you go to China, you'll find out that this is the
truth.
Oh,
yeah.
And this man was a black man. And when you go to China, in the cities, they have a picture of Dumara that's Chinese. When you go to the countryside, they have a picture of a black man. And it has a history showing you where he came from, which was India, into China, and he brought the science for fighting into China. And I want to say this. The Chinese have a martial art, but the base or the foundation of that art came from Africa. And if you talk to all of them, they will also tell you the same thing. Some of the ones who will tell the truth, I'll put it that way.
Right.
And when you have to really study, my brother, and find out that are on the wall. And the Chinese guys said, well, those are the teachers. As though I was supposed to know that they were the teachers. And I began to realize that martial arts had been in China for a long time. But it wasn't created by them. They had probably created more art since that time. But it was brought to them from Africa. Africa has a long history of the martial science, which we know nothing about.
So true. You know, there was a guest on the platform, Brother Dr. Wayne Chandler, who wrote the book Ancient Future, and lots of his research in history that he did throughout that book talks about how the first two civilizations that were founded in China were African civilizations. And many of those stories, so beautiful, very powerful. Yeah, great questions. Yes, we have 32 minutes left to go in the form, enjoying this amazing share that we're having with Cijo Muhammad, and just learning more about your path and your journey as you continue, and all of your studies. Do you have a favorite? You said your favorite book was The Art of War. Is that at the top of it? Do you do, as a warrior, much reading?
Oh, yes, ma'am. There are other books that I read, but that's my favorite book to read. And I think I've read that book maybe 40 or plus times.
Mm.
I read it. I get more and more out of it and a better understanding. Because sometimes you read, you can read it, but the understanding is not great. So as I mature, I begin to understand things that I didn't understand when I was 30 and 20 years old.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right, beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller, calling in from area code 919. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Good evening. My name is Perrin. I'm calling from Raleigh. Good evening, Cijo. My question is, how do you motivate yourself to, I know you said you just say get up and just do it, like, on your own. Like, if you're at home, how do you find the motivation to just keep going? Because I'll train for a bit. I'll do some katas. I'll do some techniques. But I'll just lose the spark. I don't have that spark that I used to have. And I want to know if you could help me find my motivation, basically.
Oh, yes, sir. I understand. It is very difficult as you start to become a mature man. It is very difficult to motivate yourself. But what you have to do is you have to get up. And just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
I do push-ups, pull-ups, dips, and I do those things every day. But
okay.
I don't want to do them when I get up to do them. I really don't want to do them. I walk, I run in place. I don't really run. I run around the yard with my grandchildren, but I don't go for a run like 5 miles like I used to do.
Okay.
My brother, you're going to have to do that. There's no one else. You're going to have to motivate yourself, as I do. And I get up every morning to teach class. I have a class at 10 to 12. I have one from 6 to 8, 4 days a week. And I get up and go down and warm up and get ready to teach every day. And in order to teach, I have to be able to do the movement. I don't do high kicks and stuff like that. but I have to get up every morning and re-motivate myself every morning. You can do that if you choose to do so, and see it as a health thing for you. Because if you get up and do physical fitness, you are going to become healthier. So put it in your head. If I want to be healthier, then I got to get up and do this. And it will be like it was before. Now I'm at a stage where I'm back there again where I enjoy it. But then even getting up to do it is still a motivation that I have to put within myself. Go downstairs and start to get loosened up so that you can do your exercise. And sometimes the old brain tells me, you don't really have to do that. You're 74 years old. Why do you have to
right.
do this?
Right, right.
And I'll tell it, shut up. I'm in charge of this. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you're going
right.
to do what I want you to do.
Cool. Cool. I have one more question. I'm also interested in doing the whole community thing, like having the...
What I did was when I moved to Georgia, which I've been here for 17 years, I immediately went to look for a room that I could have a class and teach it. And there was a perfect room that was already a gym when I purchased a home. And I changed it into a karate studio to be able to teach, where I only have to walk downstairs to my studio. If you have a garage, and in California, when I first started teaching, I had a garage that I taught in. And I made enough money in my garage to go and purchase a school when I was in California. And you go out and get the children. You go out like I did it in California. I went to the shopping center and put my little gi on and walked out there and did katas and stuff. And people start and put a little
right.
bucket down there. And they used to put money in that bucket. It helped me actually get money to earn a school. Yes, sir.
Cool. Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
All right. Yeah, excellent question. So, CJ, let me ask you, how important would this particular question and about motivating in anything, does the four laws come into place when you sort of kind of have lost your way or you're trying to get yourself back into that rhythm of balance?
The four laws play a major part because those four laws, if you do them with balance, will actually balance everything around you with those four laws, because spiritual law, dietary law, fitness law, and like I said, skill law. And skill law is your finance law. You must have finances coming in order to be able to maintain the other three laws, of the four laws. And even with those laws, I start giving those laws to the children at a young age. I can't tell them what they can and can't eat, but I try to be an example for them.
Yeah.
And find that they will tell their mom, you know, mom, you know, she'll say, that's not good. She might say, I'm going to have to call CJ and talk to him. If she do, I'll explain that I'm talking to him because this is something that I've done. I don't teach anything that I have not experienced. That's why
right.
I can speak on many things because I've experienced those things. And I call that actual facts. And I know that the science of spiritual law, dietary law, fitness law, and skill law, it actually works. And if it works for me, then it can work for you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Very powerful, very beautiful. So in this time that we're in now and where we are, your martial arts that you studied, I think the translation is the first law of the warrior spirit. Do you still... Say it again, I'm sorry.
Fifth law. Like the fist?
Fist long. Oh, like with your fist.
Yes,
the fifth law of the warrior spirit. Ah, that's the real one. The fifth law of the warrior spirit. And the Black Karate Federation. If someone wanted to be interested, because I see a lot of parents are PMing me now during the show, asking questions where you are, how they can find out more about your work. Do you have DVDs? Do you teach classes? And all of these things. What do they need to know?
They can become my Facebook friend. Yes, I do all of those. And I'm going to have a website up. I had one up, and I took it down to redo it again. Hopefully, within a week or so, it will be up. And they will be able to contact me on all the products in which I have. And also the lessons and seminars that I will be able to participate in if they choose
yes.
to invite me. So that will be up probably in another week.
Beautiful, beautiful. And they can contact you on Facebook. And your Facebook name?
Is, what is my Facebook name? CJoeAtTheBKF.com.
Okay. Say it again one more time for me, please, CJo.
CJo@thebkf.com.
Right, that you're doing. If you had some words of wisdom to leave us with, some more, I should say, because you left us with quite a few jewels here tonight, what would that be? In 2013, what would that be for us?
I would say, my sister, that we live at a time in which we can live a long and healthy life. Not just a long life, but a long and healthy life. And that you learn all the things in which you need to learn to actually live that life. But not only you live that life, you take your children and your grandchildren and teach them the proper way to actually live. Because the life in which I see sometimes isn't a good and productive life for myself or for our children. So I think that we need to figure out a way to bring everything back in order in the manner in which most of the people came up at my age. I never worried about the things in which our children have to worry about and see the things in which they have seen as a young age. I would like to see it go back and have them to enjoy life and a childhood in the manner in which we were able to enjoy my childhood. The only number I can remember really is my wife's phone number in my head.
Right.
That's really sad. And oh. Our children are the same way. You can say,
yes.
What about this? Just a minute, they'll get the phone out, get on the computer, and figure out what you need for them. Spell this word for them. Just a minute. Oh, this is spelled this way. You know? And that's, I think that if we would go back with the respect in which we had for everything, then we would have a much better life for ourselves and for our children in the future. I would like to accept that. And it is an honor, my sister. And I thank you very much for allowing me to be on your show and participate with your friends all over the world. And it is such a wonderful thing to have friends all over the world.
And it is.
I thank you for allowing me to go into their home.
Yes, it has been an honor for us, for me, to have you here. And again, I want to say thank you to the sister Sandra and her amazing family as well, too. You know, this is cool. We've never had a CJO on our on the remix before, a real live killer, a warrior.
So it's definitely been beautiful. Definitely. I am loving it. I am, and you are welcome to come back whenever you want. Consider this to be a place of your home, a sacred space for you as well, too. So anytime you have something you want to share, anything that you want to say, we are definitely honored, and we are all here listening, all 200 million plus Remix listeners. And
that, I know, Miss Blue, you just said that you have parents that are IMing you, and I would say that any parent that is in the Georgia area, or if you can get here, to bring your child to see Joe, because it is a master class, every class. And I have seen my son transform into a little boy to a young man. And the things that C. Joe has given him and taught him will take him for the rest of his life. There's nowhere else on the planet he could get this. It's not just martial arts. It's life lessons. It's history. It's how you conduct yourself. It is just, it is a PhD in one. It is just amazing. So if you can get your child there, run fast and bring your child to see you.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry. I want to take a class, you know. I was telling C-Joe my introduction to martial arts is I think I was taking some form of Tai Chi. Really, my brother was not paying attention and got the wind knocked out of me, and that was that was it for me. but it's never too late, right, C-Joe?
It's never too late. That's right.
It's never too late. So,
yeah.
Yes, I am so excited. And Sandra, again, thank you so much. You know, this has really been an honor of an introduction, and to be able to have Cedro here with us and to share, I mean, tonight. I mean, this is really one of those times that literally I'm full, like, for real. Like,
yes.
Seriously full, like, just. So much was given tonight, and just wisdom and knowledge and information that is definitely out of this world. You got amazing,
like little...
powerful brother. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Cecil. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you, Miss.
All right. You're welcome, Sandra. Peace and love. Blessings. Hold the line. Yeah, just everything full circle. It's been an amazing share tonight. Lots of powerful energy that's going on. So much is going on. I thank you. I thank your family. I thank you for your work to continue to do it. And, you know, it's just been a blessing to have you come tonight to share with us. I'm quite sure, as a CEO, you got a lot of work to do. In all three levels, mental,
yes,
physical, and spiritual realms. So really thank you for taking time out to, you know, come and just share with us. Like, it is so amazing. This is the question I want to ask you as we get ready to just close out this evening. I know you talked about the school and that being one of your dreams as part of your legacy. That you would like to have here and leave. Is there something that you have not done yet that you want to do personally, something you want to do, aside from the school, which we know is a big part of your work and your mission, but is there something on the planet that you just kind of said, I would like to do that, and you haven't had a chance to do it yet?
I think I mentioned that earlier about going to Africa. That,
yes.
I would like to travel in some of the countries, because I have been there and my people were so wonderful and so friendly. I mean,
yes.
The way that they dealt with each other is the way that I remember coming up as a child, how the community actually came together to do everything. So I've always wanted. I've been to South Africa and I've been to a couple other places in Africa, but each time that I went there, I wanted more. So that is a place that I would love to be able to go back.
Mm.
think that I will in the near future, because I'll have things in place to be able to go. That's what I wanted to do.
Beautiful. I know, I was just speaking with a sister, and she just got back from Senegal, and she was sharing with me how wonderful and amazing it was to take that trip and just to travel to be able to do that. Yeah, yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, well, I am so excited. I'm so glad. Thank you for your patience with everything, and we can't wait for the website to get up to stay connected with you and just everything that you have going on in your world as well. Feel free to stop by the Remix anytime. We get a little crazy over here, but, you know, we do our work as well, too, and just love and blessings to you. And thank you so much for sharing with us tonight.
My sister, you're more than welcome. And I thank you very much for honoring me and being on your show. Thank you very much, my sister.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight, everyone. Don't forget to download, download, download. And you know what to do. If you like the show, I want you to like it. If you love it, and I know you do, I want you to love it. Leave a comment here. Leave a comment on iTunes. Go over on Facebook. Leave a comment on Facebook as well, too. Connect with Sujo Muhammad over on Facebook as well, too. And just continue to spread that love and that wisdom that our brother brought to us tonight. So powerful as well. And so I want to wish you guys peace and love and blessings until we come back together on Sunday night. May you travel light and be safe. Ashe, love somebody, love them tonight in the spirit of Sujo Muhammad. We're going to let Stevie Wonder take us out with another one of his favorites. And I know you guys know
Ashe, this one. Lovely as a summer day. My cherie amour, distant as the Milky Way. My cherie amour, pretty little one that I adore. You're the only girl my heart before. I wish that you were mine.
Case alarm, alarm, beat Nick, beat Nick.
In the cafe, or sometimes on a crowded street, I've been near you, but you never noticed me. My cherie amour, won't you tell me how could you ignore that behind that little smile I wore?
I say. Peace and love, you guys. See you on Sunday night. Thank you so much for being a part of the Remix. Making history, everyone. Peace and love, and much love, warm spirit. Peace.